Welcome to the Redemption Life Church Podcast. Get ready for a powerful, life-changing message of freedom and encouragement. When you are in the Brookville area, join us for an exciting and uplifting worship experience. Times and locations available at www.redlifechurch.com. Follow us on Twitter at Red Life Church and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/redlifechurch.
We've been looking at the book of Acts, around Acts chapter 11, around Acts chapter 13, at the first place in history that believers were called Christians up until that point. They were considered just a sect or a cult even of Judaism. But it was not until Antioch, where the gospel was first shared with a large number of Gentiles, non-Jewish people, that Christianity became something completely different and completely aside from anything else that had existed in the world to that point. And so we've been looking at what it was about these believers that made them, when their friends, when their neighbors, when the world around them looked at them and saw not a Jew, saw not a Gentile, but saw something completely different, saw a Christian, a little Christ, a little Jesus. What was it about them that made that distinction? What was it about them that pulled them out? And we've been looking at several over the next few weeks, over actually the rest of the summer. We're going to be digging into this a little deeper every week, taking a layer off, and seeing some things that were involved in their lives that we need to have in our lives today. Because I don't know about you, but my greatest prayer is that when someone looks at Justin Bradley, I would pray, and I'm sure I fail at this often, but I would hope that at some point, through God working and His grace and the Holy Spirit moving in my life, at some point that someone would look at me and say, not that he was a good preacher, not that he was a great pastor, not even that he was a great father, husband, or friend, even though all those things would be wonderful to hear. But I hope that at some point somebody looks at me and says, that's a Christian. That's a Christian. Amen? That should be the goal, the end game of all of our lives as followers of Jesus. So we're looking at this church of Antioch and these believers in Antioch and uncovering some truths about their life, some reasons that they may have pointed to them being called Christians first. And last week we talked about the fact that these were all different people from different backgrounds, and we looked at the leadership team in Acts chapter 13, 1, the five leaders that were mentioned as leaders, and we looked at how different each one of these men were. And one of the things that set these believers apart was the fact that you had people from so many different backgrounds that were all united under one common cause, and that was different than anything else the world had ever seen. And we looked at the fact last week that we will always be able to do more than me. Amen? We will always be able to do more than me. Today we're gonna stay in Acts chapter 13. We're going to actually look at the next couple of verses after Acts chapter 13, 1. That's the only verse we looked at last week. We're going to be in Acts chapter 13, 2. And you can follow along on YouVersion. There's a slide up here we can put up there to show you how to do that if you're a YouVersion Bible app user. And that'll give you the directions there. You can follow along with us. That's available every Sunday. Unless something happens that we don't know about, but that usually is available every single Sunday. And if you ever log on to that and it's not working for some reason, please let me know or let somebody know so we can know that that's something we need to fix because it should just work. So we're going to be looking at this idea of the fact that Christian first means this. Christian first means that I am sent first. From anything else, I'm sent. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're sent. Turn them again, or somebody else around you, say, you're sent. You're sent. Let's look at Acts chapter 13, verses 2 through 4. It says, one day as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, dedicate Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I've called them. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent. Everyone say sent. And sent them on their way. So Barnabas and Saul were sent. Everyone say sent. Barnabas and Saul were sent out by the Holy Spirit, and they went down to the seaport of Seleucia and then sailed for the island of Cyprus. They were sent. They were sent. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this time we have in your word. Lord, I thank you for the privilege and honor that it is, God, to be able to share your word with your people, God, with this people and with this house. Lord, I thank you for the place of freedom and encouragement that you are building for your kingdom and your glory here in Brookville, Franklin County, and beyond, Father God. And I pray, Holy Spirit, whether we're watching online or whether we're here in the house this morning, I pray that we will all be strengthened together, encouraged together, and Lord, that we will all have a supernatural encounter with you as we look at your word together today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen and amen. Christian first. Let me tell you what being a Christian first means. It means that I am simultaneously saved from the world And then I am also sent into the world. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've experienced redemption, if you've experienced forgiveness of your sins, if you are a follower of Jesus, friend, that means today, while you were sitting in this room, you have been saved out of the world and its system and its sin. However, you have also been sent into the world to redeem the world wherever you are. That clip you just saw from the movie Black Hawk Down, hopefully everybody recognized that movie. If you didn't, then your assignment today is to go home and watch the movie Black Hawk Down, put the kids down for a nap, because it's not a kid movie. It's got some language. It's a war movie. But if you know the history of that, it's based on the true actual events of something that happened in the late, mid-90s in Somalia, where a group of Army Rangers and Delta team members, they were on a mission. They were surprised, attacked. By some insurgents there in Somalia. They lost a couple of Black Hawk helicopters, went down, and the story is based on the mission that the rest of the crew, the rest of that unit had to go in. That scene that we saw was the first chopper had went down, and those guys had just gotten back to base, and they barely escaped with their lives. Many of their friends, compatriots, many of the guys that they were serving with, a lot of them had just lost their lives, and they are just getting back to the base, and they barely made it out alive, and yet they are immediately getting ready to go back in and rescue those who couldn't get out with them. And you saw that conversation between the sergeant and the enlisted man, and he said, I can't go back in there. I'm not going back in there. You're crazy. We're all going to die. And he said, nobody gets left behind. And I think about that. I think, you know, that's exactly what Jesus has done with us. In fact, John chapter 20, verse 21. Do we have that up there? John chapter 20, verse 21 says, this is what Jesus said to us. Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Jesus said, just like the Father sent me from heaven to earth to show you how to live, to show you what it means to live for God and to pay the ultimate price. Listen, he said, the same way the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So that means that each and every one of us, while we have been saved from the world, once Jesus saves us, he then sends us back into the very world that he has saved us from, because he has a mission of redemption and rescue to work through each and every single one of our lives. You and I have been sent. Everyone say sent. Everyone say sent. Now let me explain this to you. You do not have to wait for a missions trip to live life as one sent. I want to be very careful to lay this out as plainly as I possibly can this morning. Being sent does not mean that I'm waiting around for instructions for God to send me to some foreign country, or to send me into a city, or to send me into a place to start a ministry, or to send me. Listen, wherever I am, that is where God has sent me. Amen? So what I hope that we walk away with today is, at least we'll walk out of here this morning with the understanding and the idea that wherever I am, God has sent me there. And that we begin to walk out of this place with a purpose and say, you know what? I'm walking out of here sent. I'm walking back into my week Monday morning, and I'm sent there. Amen? I want us to live life as believers we're supposed to be, and we need to be living life like we are sent. Turn to everybody again and say sent. Christian first means sent first. You know, and I really count it an honor, and not in a sinful way of pride, but I'm very proud of the fact that as a church, from day one, we have been a sending church. We from day one, from the very first service we ever had a few years ago, we have set aside a portion of every single offering goes to helping send people preach the gospel. We support a couple of different missionaries and missions work. In fact, Tia, I don't want to embarrass you, but Tia just went to be with one of our missionaries for several days in Africa that we have supported now for a couple of years. We are part of supporting missions work in Nicaragua, and that missionary work is beginning to expand into Panama. We have also helped send church planters and people people who are revitalizing churches in other parts of the country. We right now, every single time you give, a portion of that goes to supporting Horizon Church in Waukegan, Wisconsin. And just about a year ago, Pastor Austin Myers was here and shared his vision for that. And so we have always had this idea in the DNA of our church that we are to send. Amen? We are to send. We have been a sending church. And I believe as time goes on, as the Lord tarries and the Lord allows us to continue to grow, continue to minister, guess what? God is going to raise up from this place, from this house, people that we are going to send into to do the work of the kingdom in other places of the world, in other places of the country. Amen? How many believe that? We have kids right now that are in kids' church, students that are in youth group, that God is going to place his hand upon them and his call upon them, and we are going to have the responsibility to send them into whatever calling God has for them to do. Amen, somebody? So we understand that we are a sending church, but it's not enough for us as believers just to be a part of a church that's sending other people. We got to realize that in my life, wherever I am, I have been sent there. You are one sent. You are sent. Just because you have not heard and felt the call of God to go to a foreign country or to go to some new city or to go start a church somewhere, that does not mean that you are not sent. All of us are sent. Jesus said, just as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm sent. So how do I live life like I'm sent? How do I live life like I'm sent? The first starts with the first revelation that I've said a couple of times already this morning. The first thing I've got to do, if I'm going to live life like one sent, I've got to realize that sent starts where I already am. Sent starts where I already am. I've got to realize that as a believer, you know, the Bible says in the book of Acts that God himself determines the times and places in which men live. That means that you are living in the exact moment that God ordained for you to live. You know, I've heard people lament that, oh man, if I'd just been born 50 years ago, it was just such a simpler time, right? Or as we get older, sometimes we look back at our teenage years or our childhood years or our early adult years or whatever you're looking back on, and we go, oh man, that was just such a better time. It was such a simpler time. There was just less junk in the world and all this. I don't really know if any of that's true. I really doubt it, because here's what I know about what happens when, and there's nothing wrong with honoring where we came from, but we gotta know this, guys. Listen to me close. When you look back at the past, you need to understand that the past you're looking back on is never as good as you remember it being. It really isn't, okay? It's really not. And the present time that you live in now is never as bad as you imagine it to be at its worst moment. It really isn't. Because guess what? If the Lord tarries and we are our world and our culture and our people, if we live another 50, 60, 70 years, I promise you, we will look back on this time that we're all complaining about and talking about how crazy it is and talking about how simple it is. I promise you, we will be looking back on that time and going, man, if we could just get back to 2018, when Donald Trump was president. God, it was just a simpler time. I know some of you guys are like, that'll never happen. I guarantee you, I promise you, and somebody will look back, and I'm not saying because Donald Trump's president, I'm just saying, we'll look back on this time and go, I wish we could get back there. And you'll remember this, you'll remember that somebody said, you know what, it wasn't as good as you remember it being. Amen, somebody. So what that means is this: if God determines the times and the places in which I live, that means that wherever you are, God has placed you there. And the first key to me beginning to live life like I'm sent is to realize that wherever I am, God has placed me there. So what I've got to do is start living life and start walking into the places that God has called me to be. That job, that family, that situation, that circumstance, that city, that town, God has placed you there. Not only has God placed you there, friend, God has sent you there. Sent you there with a purpose. Sent you there with an anointing. Sent you there with a mission. Sent starts where you are. Sent starts where you are. Sent starts where you are. If I can't be compassionate about the people who have needs around me right where I am, how can I be compassionate about people on the other side of the world? Sent starts where I am. Sent starts where I am. Okay? That jacked up family you're a part of, God sent you there. That idiotic boss God has you working for, God sent you there. Come on, somebody. That crazy company God has you working in, God sent you there. And why did God send you there? God sent you there because when you walk in the room, the atmosphere becomes redeemed because of the work of redemption upon you. Amen, somebody. Thank God, God is sending us into those. See, we look at these crazy situations as something that we're supposed to get ourselves out of. And what God is saying a lot of times is I need to put some redeemed folk in those crazy situations, because if I take all the redeemed people out of them, what hope is there for the rest of the world? He has both saved us out, yet he has sent us in. Being sent starts where I am. The second thing is when I'm sent, it allows me to see infinite potential in every circumstance I'm in. Amen. Let's look at the Antioch church. The Antioch church. Now, the Holy Spirit, these leaders, Barnabas and Paul are part of these five men, Simeon, Lucius, Manian, and Barnabas and Saul, the five leaders that we looked at last week. They're praying, they're fasting, they're seeking the Lord, and the Holy Spirit speaks to them and says, send out Barnabas and Saul. And this is Paul, the same Paul that he's still called Saul right now. Send out Barnabas and Saul for the work I have for them. Now, Barnabas makes sense. Barnabas was a good guy. Barnabas was the guy that everybody loved. Barnabas was the guy that the Jerusalem church sent to Antioch to check it out and make sure everything was on the up and up. So Barnabas has the pedigree. Barnabas has the background. Barnabas has the track record. Barnabas has the clout. Yes, Barnabas is the man that needs to go forth and be sent out and do some work. Saul, on the other hand, on the outset, now we know the end of Saul's story, but you got to understand at the beginning of this thing, this is before Saul wrote half of the New Testament. This is before Saul started mega churches in Corinth and Ephesus. This is before Saul's handkerchiefs healed people and raised him up in the book of Acts. This is at the beginning of Saul's life when he just a couple of years earlier was murdering Christians. Saul doesn't make a lot of sense to send out. When Saul shows up, many church people are still thinking, is he here to put us in jail? No, he's here to preach. Really? Just put yourself in the situation. Saul was just murdering Christians, and now you saw a Facebook post that Saul is having a revival crusade and inviting everyone to come. That sounds like those weird posts that get on message boards on the internet where people are like, hey, anybody know where I can buy some drugs? Like, that might be a setup. You know what I'm saying? Right? And so, Saul doesn't make any sense. But when I'm sent, when I live life like I'm sent, that means no matter how much sense my situation doesn't make, God sent me there. And if God sent me there, that means there's potential there. If God sent you to that job that's frustrating, has got you pulling your hair out, there's potential there. God's got you dealing with kids that are crazy, and you're getting phone calls in the middle of the night to come get them out of jail, and you're trying to get them into rehab. Guess what? God has sent you there because there's potential there. Come on, somebody. God sent you there because there's potential there. And for me to live life like I'm sent, I'm going to have to eventually allow myself to see past the outer circumstances and see the potential of what is possible for the fact that God has sent me there. Amen? And we serve a God of infinite potential. We serve a God of infinite resources. And the one who sent us has infinite power and availability. And you know what? He's waiting to unlock all of it to someone who will begin to recognize, I'm sent here. I'm sent here. Everybody say, I'm sent here. So we gotta be careful that we don't miss the potential of God moving because we're waiting for it to make sense. when I'm sent somewhere, it often won't make sense. Even the whole birth of the Antioch church. The Antioch church was birthed with people who were doing something that didn't make any sense. The Bible says that the Antioch church, we looked at this a couple weeks ago, but just a little refresher and recap. The Bible says that the Antioch church was birthed out of persecution that happened in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem church began to get persecuted, and all the believers that were there that had been saved on the day of Pentecost, those 3,000, and the church began to grow and grow and grow in the city of Jerusalem. When persecution broke out, they all went back home. And the Bible says that as they went back home, you can read this around Acts chapter 8 and around Acts chapter 11, the Bible says that as they went on their way, they shared the gospel. And the Bible says that they shared it with Jewish people, and because they're saying this is the Messiah, Jesus, the one that you've been waiting for. But the Bible says that when the believers went to Antioch, they shared the gospel with Gentiles. Now, this makes no sense to the first century person. Why would you share the good news of the Messiah with these Gentiles? Gentiles were looked at as lower than dogs to a Jewish person. So it makes no sense. But thank God, a group of people who realized that they were sent where they were recognized that there was potential in people that nobody else saw potential in. There was potential in a situation that looked hopeless. There was potential inside of people that didn't make any sense whatsoever. But they said, you know what? We're serving a God of infinite power, infinite wisdom, and infinite potential. So let's see what will happen. They were sent. Amen? Don't miss where you're sent because we miss the potential because we're waiting for it to make sense. The third thing, to live life like I'm sent, is I've got to recognize that I am sent while I am still in progress. Paul and Barnabas probably didn't feel ready to be sent. I can almost guarantee you the church at Antioch didn't feel ready to lose two of their best leaders. However, God doesn't wait to send us until we reach some level of perfection. See, I hear this all the time. Even when inviting people just to come to church sometime. Well, you know, once I get these things straightened out in my life, then I'll come to church. I'll start serving God once I get this taken care of. Once I get over this addiction. Once I get over this habit. Once I get my debt paid off. Or once I get my life. Whatever ideal that we hold up is like, this is where I've got to get. It's amazing how often we will try to wait. We think that we have to get to some place before God will accept us or even use us. Even in the church, people are coming to church, they get saved, and they begin to follow Jesus, and they begin to know the Lord. And they'll say, well, I'm not really ready to be used yet. I'm not really ready to do anything yet because I got all these things I'm working on. Can I tell you something, friend? If God waited to use people that were perfect, nobody would ever get used. So don't wait until you feel ready to be sent. Recognize that you have already been sent, and then what I've got to do is I've got to look around and go, man, I've been sent into a big situation. I've been sent into a place with crazy potential. I've been sent into a place, into a thing where man, it may be a little bigger than me. Then guess what I've got to do? I've got to go, God, I need you to grow me into the place that you have sent me into. So if you are living in a place that is way beyond your ability to do something, guess what that means? That means that God sent you there with the full intention of growing you into the person that's been sent there to redeem it. God, that's good news. Because that means that God has a plan, God has a purpose, God has a reason for my being here. Amen? Just as I've been sent, I'm sending you, Jesus said. So I can't wait till I'm ready. Paul wasn't ready. Paul certainly probably wasn't ready. Barnabas wasn't ready. I guarantee you they didn't feel people, but here's the deal. Sent people aren't perfect people. God sends people while they're still in progress. And here's the thing. Where my progress hasn't quite reached the level of God's potential, guess what? God will make up the difference. God will make up the difference. So don't wait to feel ready. Don't wait to feel ready. Don't wait to feel ready to share your testimony with that person that God's got on your heart. Don't wait until you have a certain amount of scriptures memorized or have a certain speech down before you invite that friend or that coworker to church. You just get this down to the very base level. Don't wait until you stop cussing before you invite somebody to church. I know what you're thinking. Well, if I invite somebody to church and then I let a little word slip out of my mouth, that person's going to judge me and they're going to think that I'm... Don't wait on that. Don't wait on that. You're sent right where you are. Amen? You're sent right where you are. So be sent there. Be sent there. Be sent there. Is this good stuff this morning or what? The fourth thing. I've only got 18 other more things. The fourth thing is if I'm going to live life like I'm sent, I cannot be afraid to send my very best. Okay? Paul and Barnabas, even though Saul didn't make sense at the time, we recognize what a huge part of the... In fact, Saul was so important to the leadership of Antioch that Barnabas actually went to wherever Saul was. And the Bible says he brought Saul in Acts 11. He brought Saul to the team. So Barnabas knew something, saw something in Paul, and said, I really need you to be a part of this team. I really need you to help lead this church. Saul and Barnabas were probably the two chief leaders of the church of Antioch, and those are the exact people that God sent. So what I'm saying is, they didn't send their leftovers out to do the work of God. They sent their best. And if I'm going to live life like I'm sent, then I've got to realize that what God has sent me to, listen to me now, what God has sent me to deserves my best. It's hard for me to live life like I'm sent when the only thing I'm allowing God to send in my life is the leftovers. My leftover time, my leftover energy, my leftover faith. I can't be afraid to let go of my very best if I'm going to be sent. Come on, somebody. Let me just say something about Red Life Church and what I believe God has for us in days to come. Listen to me, guys. We better recognize real quick, if we are going to be a church that sins, then we've got to recognize very quickly and very early. And right now, we've got to realize, listen, guys, people do not belong to us. Parents, your kids don't belong to you. They belong to God. God gave them to you. And the reason he gave them to you is for you to steward the gifts and the calling of the potential inside of them and then send them to whatever God has for them to be and to do. Come on, somebody. So that means that we've got to hold people with a very loose grasp and understand that God may raise some people up or put a calling on somebody's heart that sends them out. Okay, does that make sense? Parents, don't make your kids feel guilty about growing up and leaving the nest, leaving home. Let them pursue God. This is the first, the 5 years that we've lived here is the closest that we've ever lived to my parents. Okay? We always were out doing, God called us to ministry, and we were out in all over the country doing stuff. And it's been great. It's been a blessing to come back and be able to have and to be able to be close to family again. But for a long, and I thank God that because I know it was. I can imagine because I now that I have kids, I can imagine how difficult it would be to let your kids go off into other places and to not feel like you don't have any control or you're not there to protect them or to be there for them. But thank God they realized that God had sent me. Come on, somebody. And so we got to realize that people don't belong to us. And we got to be willing to let go sometimes of our very best and to let God send our very best in our lives, from us, and from us as a people. Amen? Lastly, let me just read this scripture. It says, one day as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, dedicate Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I've called them. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on the way. They were in this time of prayer and fasting. They were seeking God, seeking the Holy Spirit. And as they were seeking the Holy Spirit spoke to them and said, I want you to send Barnabas and Saul out. I have something special. I have a special work. I have a special mission. I have something they've been sent to. Okay? If I'm going to live life like I'm sent, then listen to me now. I've got to live life tuned in to the one who sent me. I've got to live life tuned into the one who sent me. And the one who has sent us is who? Jesus. Just as the Father has sent me, I have sent you. So I've got to live my life tuned into Jesus, tuned into the presence of God, tuned into the Spirit of God, which means I need to take some time in my life, spend some time in worship, spend some time in prayer, get together with my church family, spend some time in the Word. I've got to live tuned into the Holy Spirit. I've got to be tuned into the one who sent me so I can receive marching orders. Come on, somebody. Okay? And then on that note, if I'm living tuned in to the Holy Spirit, if I'm living tuned in to the one who sent me, then when I hear him, I've got to obey and respond. Because I can be dialed in as well as I can be, and I can hear as clearly as I can. But if I don't respond when I hear, I might as well not have heard. So I walk into my job, I realize that I'm sent there, I'm walking in Tuesday morning, I say, bless God, God has sent me into this office, God has sent me into this company, God has sent me into this school, God has sent me into this place of business, God has sent me into this family, and I'm ready to be sent, and I'm going about my day, and then all of a sudden, the one who sent me begins to put somebody on my heart that maybe is at a cubicle across from me, at a desk across from me, at a grocery store aisle across from me. You begin to have this crazy thought. Hey, why don't you talk to that person and ask them if they need prayer? Hold up. Like, you want me to invite them to church next Sunday? We can pray for them there. Maybe the pastor can pray for them. No, I want you to talk to them and pray for them right now. Okay? When I hear that, I need to learn to obey and respond. Amen? Is it going to feel weird? Yep. Is it going to be super awkward? Yep. Is it going to be uncomfortable? Yep. Will it be worth it? Yep. We got to allow the Holy Spirit to interrupt our plans sometimes. We got to be tuned in and allow the one who sent us sometimes to change the course or the reason and just interrupt some moments. And those are the moments that we recognize, hey, man, I was sent here. I was sent here for this purpose right now, this moment, to pray for this person, to witness to this person, to invite this person, to speak to this person. Amen? Okay? So how do I live like I'm sent? Recap real quick. How do I live life like I'm sent? I got to realize that sent starts where I am. I got to realize that sent sees potential. I got to realize that I'm sent while I'm still in process. I got to realize that it's okay for me to send and let go of my best, and I've got to live in tune with the one who sent me. Now, let's flip over to Acts chapter 14 as the band comes and we begin to end our time together today. So look over Acts chapter 14, verse 26 and 27. Acts chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas are sent out, and the rest of Acts chapter 14 is their first missionary journey together. And it says, finally, Acts chapter 14, verse 26 and 27, says, finally, they returned by ship to Antioch of Syria, where their journey had begun. So they come back home. The believers there had entrusted them to the grace of God to do the work they had now completed. Upon arriving in Antioch, they called the church together and reported everything God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles too. They stayed there with the believers a long time. So they come back together. They have this party. They testify and they tell about everything. And something stood out to me today or this week. This is verse 27. I'm going to tell us to look at this again. It says, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. They called the church together and reported all that God had done through them. Now, I usually have read this like it was saying Paul and Barnabas. We're talking about all that God had done through Paul and Barnabas. But I read this a different way this week. I think that perhaps because they were sent from Antioch, Paul and Barnabas weren't coming back to the church and saying, hey, let us tell you about everything that God did through us and how great we are. He was saying, we're going to tell you everything that God had done through them, through all of us, because you sent us. Does that make sense? They weren't sharing, hey, this is how awesome God has moved in Paul and Barnabas' life. He was saying, guys, this is how awesomely God has moved in the whole church's life by us being sent. What I'm saying is this. When one of us are sent, all of us are sent. And when you begin to recognize that where you are, God has sent you there, and you begin to function in that calling, it returns joy. It's something for all of us to celebrate over. Amen? And as each and every one of us individually begin to go into the places that God has placed us, the businesses God has placed us, the families God has placed us, the places that God has sent us, as we begin to walk into those places like we're sent, guess what? We are all encouraged and we are all blessed and we are all doing the work of God together. It wasn't what God had done through Paul and Barnabas. It was what God had done through the entire church as they were sent out into their calling. Amen? Stand up with me over this place. So, when I recognize that I have been sent, and when I recognize that we have all been sent together, I do not have to get jealous or complain or be upset about you being used by God, because I can recognize that as we're in this thing together and we've been sent together, guess what? If God has used you, He has used me, and that I'm a part of that as well. Amen? Every person we minister to the food bank, that's something we've all done together. Come on, somebody. Every time Pastor Eric, they have an awesome youth service on Sunday night and students get ministered to, that's something we've all been part of. Come on, amen? When Tia goes on a missions trip, we've all been a part of that. It's what God has done through all of us. When you begin to function in your calling, we're all a part of that together. And we celebrate and we rejoice together, because when one is sent, we're all sent. We're a part of what God is doing in Waukegan, Wisconsin, through Horizon Church, because He sent them there, and we're a part of sending them there. It's happening all of us. Come on. We're a part of every child that gets ministered to in Nicaragua. We're a part of all of that. Because where one is sent, we're all sent. What God has done through them. Through them. Through them. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me in this place this morning? I'm going to pray. The band is going to lead us in just a short time of worship. And as we do that, I encourage you right now to begin to let the Holy Spirit just begin to rewire, rework some things in your heart, in your mind, and begin to recognize that God has sent you. Right now, right where you are, right how you are, God has sent you. God has sent you where you are. You are one sent. I'm going to pray over us right now that we would be a people that walk every day, not just when we come to church, but we walk into the place that God has called us to go, on a baseball field, through sports, through athletics, through our kids' stuff. God has sent us there, and God has sent us there with a purpose. Can we be that type of people, church? No? Can we be that type of people, church? Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now that you would awaken every one of our hearts to the purpose and to the realization that, God, we have been sent everywhere we are. Holy Spirit, I pray that when we wake up tomorrow, wherever you call us to go, whether it's to go clock in somewhere at work, whether it's to stay at home with our kids, God, whether it's to be a stay-at-home mom, stay-at-home dad, God, whether it's to be an entrepreneur, a teacher, whatever it is that you have called us, God, that we will recognize wherever we are, you have sent us there. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that we would allow you to live in tune with us and for us to live in tune with you, to recognize every moment the purpose for which you have sent us there. In Jesus' precious name, God. In Jesus' name, God, make us a sent people. A sent people, God, that send people. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. I'm Pastor Justin, and I believe Jesus has begun a transformational work in your heart through this word you've just heard. I'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. If you've made a commitment to follow Him today or have a testimony to share about what God's doing, head on over to redlifechurch.com. Follow the tabs of the Get Connected page and send us a message. While you're there, you can also give to Red Life Church and to the work God is doing here in Brookville, Indiana. God's blessings upon you and your family.